few weeks ago, Ronnie was preaching about the sacred cows that we have. It's the idea that, yeah, you know, there are things that we take as truth, but we may be getting that more out of a tradition or more, you know, it's just something we all think is a way it has to be done, but it's not really. I know, and I want to talk about one of those today. One of these, I know we often will start a service or like a prayer meeting, you know, kind of praying for the Spirit of God to come. You know, it's like, Holy Spirit, come, you know, fill the room, you know, be here with us, like he's not already here with us. But the thing that we have to remember is that the Holy Spirit is always here. You know, where two or more are gathered, God is here. And we never need to ask the Holy Spirit to come. He's here. He's with us at all times. And the title of my message is Ever Present, because God is ever present. He is, you know, the Holy Spirit is always here with us. And if you look at Psalms 46, 1 through 3, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. And that's, you know, that's the Old Testament. That's, you know, God, even before the Holy Spirit is poured out onto his people, you know, even in the Old Testament, God is always there for you. But thank you. But at that time, you would have the Holy Spirit would come upon people. That was like, you know, the prophets, Jeremiah, Isaiah, they would be, you know, Moses, they would be doing things in power, and God would come upon them. But they would, you know, they didn't have that indwelling Holy Spirit that we as Christians have now. There were even examples in the Old Testament where the Holy Spirit would depart from people, whether it be from Samson, from the King Saul, and you know, the Holy Spirit would depart from those people because the Holy Spirit did not dwell in us at that time. But, you know, God was always there, and he was available, you know, when he was needed. So, you know, the Old Testament, all the tradition, you know, God was there for his people. God showed up all the time and was there. He was that ever-present help. But when Jesus came, and that changed absolutely everything. So the life of Jesus is filled with the miracles, filled with the power of God. It changed absolutely everything about what the Jewish tradition was used to seeing. So before, he had to get his disciples ready to be able to live that life after he was gone. So there were quite a few times where Jesus was describing what life was going to be like when he left, and he promised that we would do greater things. And in John 16, 7 through 15, he's describing to the disciples what is going to be necessary in our lives when he is gone. And that reads, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment, because people do not believe in me about righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer, and about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Now the Holy Spirit, God, and Son, the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit was always there, but he wasn't always available at all, you know, to believers until Jesus had to, you know, die for our sins, be raised on the third day. And after that, after he ascended back into heaven, the Holy Spirit was able to come upon his people. And because of the Holy Spirit, we have that ability to, you know, act in the gifts and, you know, everything that God provides for us. I know that we all know the story of Pentecost, but I wanted to just kind of go over it again one more time. I'm sure not one more time, but again. And of course, that's Acts 2, 1 through 41. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing men from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of them hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Now, all these people were gathered in Jerusalem because it was one of the feasts. You know, people came from all over, you know, Jewish people came from all over the world to come back to Jerusalem at this time to be part of one of the Jewish feasts. And they were amazed and perplexed. They asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, that is what is spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You fill me with joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried. And his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised on him an oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool to your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are off, for all whom the Lord of God will call. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. That's a lot of, like, amazing stuff in there. It's just, you know, like, your basic building blocks of, you know, salvation, you know, being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I know that, you know, there are so many people that just believe, you know, yes, you have to be saved, you know. And, Yvonne, what you were saying today about finding the diamond, to me, the being filled with the Holy Spirit, first off, being saved, it's kind of like, you know, compared to like finding coal. You know, you're like, you can go find coal in the mountains, and coal is, you know, a very important thing. It's like West Virginia, you know, like a lot of this area has been able to survive and make a living off of coal. Coal is something very, very valuable. But, you know, and that, I feel like being saved, you know, like first off, that's finding coal. You have found something valuable. You found something that will change your life and give you a much better life. But getting the Holy Spirit is like finding the diamond inside that coal. You're able now, because you have found that diamond, you're able to have even more. You're able to do those greater things that Jesus promised us that we'd be able to do. And I know we've, Sam and I have been talking with, you know, a few people. We're trying to help through, you know, their walk, kind of move from that, you know, yeah, I've gotten saved, I've got this like base knowledge, but you know, now what? And, yeah, I've been studying into that and trying to help them. So I was, you know, looking into things like, what does the Holy Spirit do for us? The Holy Spirit intercedes for us. In Romans 8:26 through 27, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. That interceding is when you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, that the Holy Spirit has a direct, you know, that direct communication with God. You know, when you're saved, of course you are able to pray. God listens to your prayers. God answers your prayers. But that indwelling of the Holy Spirit opens that line of communication. Yeah, I know, you know, we all know the gift of speaking in tongues, you know, that heavenly language. And, you know, I was praying on this. I was kind of reminded, like, I know a lot of people will, like, when you have, like, a little, elementary school friend or whatever, you'll make up your own language with each other. You'll be able to have like little secret conversations, like a little Pig Latin kind of thing almost. And I know, like, even with Sam and I, you know, being together for as long as we have, being married as long as we have, we've gotten to the point where we almost have like nonverbal communication, you know. And even Mom and I used to joke all the time. I see her, you know, smiling back there, probably remembering all the times we're like, yeah, we're going to finish each other's sentence. Yeah, like you just know. You have that close relationship. And the Holy Spirit allows us to have that close relationship with God where, you know, you speak the same language. You think the same thoughts. The more you are in touch with the Holy Spirit, the more you're going to think the thoughts of God. And the more your life is going to align with what God has for you. And, of course, as you move further into a Christian walk with the Holy Spirit, you also have, you know, access to the gifts of the Spirit. And the gifts of the Spirit are found in 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. I know, you know, like, we believe here, you know, healing, all these gifts, you know, speaking in tongues, prophecy, spirit of wisdom and knowledge. And I mean, you see that in work here. You know, it's like someone's back's hurt, we're going to pray for them, you know. And there was a time where I almost thought, like, oh, man, you know, should we be even maybe a little visitor friendly? You know, should we, like, maybe not be as, you know, spirit filled and as, you know, crazy as we are, but, you know, God had to deal with me on that, and that was the absolute wrong way to think. You know, how dare my brain even have the thought cross it of, should we limit anything that God does? Like, the one thing we do talk about a lot is you should always worship and you should always live like Jesus is right in front of you. And we really, really tried to keep cognizant of that, you know, because we are filled with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is always here, Jesus is right in front of us all the time. And there is no other purpose to life other than to glorify God and to live the kind of life that's described in the Bible and described, you know, as living with the Holy Spirit. So these are some of the, just a few of the things that the Holy Spirit, you know, that will do for us and in our lives. And what should our lives look like if we are filled with the Spirit? And in Galatians 5:13 through 26, you have the fruits of the Spirit. And that is, you know, just like your base, what your life should be looking like if you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you're living the kind of life that, you know, our faith dictates that we should be living. And it says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious." So this is your, you know, your list of the things that you should not be doing. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hate, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft. I'm reading the same thing I just read a second ago. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you are looking at that and you're seeing things in your life, it's like, ooh, I just remember I completely lost my cool when that lady cut me off the other day. And, you know, yelling in my car about, you know, how mad that made me. That's your fits of rage. You know? If you're, you know, jealous of, you know, what, you know, car your neighbor's driving, how big somebody else's house is, that's something that we shouldn't be doing. You know, that whole keeping up with the Joneses thing. Yeah, that's not of the Spirit. But, you know, those fruits of the Spirit, just, you know, those are the things that we should see in our life. We should see love. We should love people. We should have love even for ourselves. Not, you know, like being cocky, that kind of, you know, love for ourselves, but knowing, loving our lives, not hating our lives, you know? You should have that peace, you know? You should feel a spirit of peace in your life because, yeah, I know Ronnie and I have both spoke about that peace and not being anxious for things so many times in the last few months, but that is absolutely one of the gifts of the Spirit. So, you know, like I said earlier, that whole idea about finding that diamond, you can lead that Christian life and you can, you know, believe in a God, but if you don't have the Holy Spirit to lead you, you're going to be missing something. Yeah, I know y'all know I have a degree in history. I love Virginia history. I love Thomas Jefferson. But, you know, when I was studying into this and preparing this message, I was thinking about Jefferson, and he did believe in a God, but he was really like this Renaissance man. He invented so many things. He knew so many things, but he never allowed God to have an encounter with his heart. He never allowed Jesus to really come into his life. And he wanted to understand it, but he tried to understand it through his own mind. And that was not possible. So he got to the point where he couldn't wrap his mind around what Jesus did and miracles and things like that. He wrote his own Bible. There is actually a Thomas Jefferson Bible that strips out all of the miracles and all of the works of the Spirit. And, you know, that's how far you can go in a non-Spirit-filled kind of Christian life. You know, like you have that legality, you have that law, but you don't have that love. You don't have those fruits of the Spirit. And, you know, I know the last time I spoke, I talked about, you know, like the Sermon on the Mount, and there are like all these Bible scholars saying that that kind of a lifestyle is impossible. And you might be looking at, you know, the fruits of the Spirit. You might be looking at the things I say that are hard to do. And these living this kind of a life is very hard to do if you're doing it in your own understanding. If you don't have the Holy Spirit in you to help you and to be your helper to live the kind of life that we're called to live. And I just pray that we're all able to tap into what God has for us, tap into the Holy Spirit, and to help us live the kind of life that we're supposed to live. That encouragement comes even, you know, in Philippians. You know, Paul knows that people need encouragement to run this race and to live this life. And in Philippians 1, 3 through 6, he writes, "I thank my God every time I remember you, but in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." So don't be discouraged if you're listening to a message here, if you're listening to me, if you're listening, you know, to Pastor John or Pastor Ronnie or anything, and you're like, "Oh man, I'm just not there. You know, I'm not living the way I'm supposed to be living. I have these problems." God's not done. God's never done with any of us. God's not done with me. He's not done with Pastor Ronnie. He's not done with any of us. You have to continue to believe. You have to continue to pray and let that Spirit into you. Let God work in your life, because he started a good work in you. Your existence is a good work. I'll say it again. For your existence is a good work that God started. And that gift is not a gift that should ever be taken lightly. You should always believe that you are here for a purpose, and your purpose is to love God and to fulfill His will. So as we close, I want to stop and pray and just for a moment and just thank God for being with us. Thank God for His presence, and that it is always here, that it never leaves us, He never forsakes us. God loves all of us, no matter where we are, no matter what point of our walk we're in. He is always here. He is always in front of you, and He will always love you. Lord God, I just pray right now that you bring an understanding and you bring illumination to people that of your love for them, of how much you love them, how much you want good for them, God, and how much your Spirit can help them in every aspect of their day and every day of their life, God. Lord God, as we go and prepare to have this meal together, Lord, just pray that you bring opportunities for us to have conversations with people even today, even as we go on in our week, God, that we can impact people for you, Lord. We can show your love through our lives and through the actions of your Holy Spirit living within us, God. In the name of Jesus right now, just thank you for this opportunity to be together, Lord. Just thank you for the food and the hands that prepared it. In Jesus' name, amen.